Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Welcome to Hungry for God Church, where our mission is to reveal Jesus, to manifest his presence, to move people out of religion into reality, into relationship. Ooh, I see his face in this room. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anybody came here for an experience? I'm looking for some hungry people today. Hungry. I've been preaching all week, and I don't feel like preaching too long. But I do feel like there's a move of God in here right now. And over the time, I've learned that when I sense his presence, I don't like to ignore it. I like to flow with it. Amen. How many people know God is still alive? Amen. And he reveals himself to his through his people. Amen. Through his people. The problem is when we don't love people, when we don't embrace people, we actually quench the Spirit of God. Because the people that God is going to use, or the way God speaks to us and flows to us and manifests himself to us, is through people. Right? God reveals himself to us through people. So when we don't love people, we can't receive from God. Come on. Thank you. You know, one of the mottos I have in life is either you humble yourself or you be humbled.
Amen.
I prefer to humble myself. Because if God humbles you, it's a painful process. Either you could fall on the rock or you let the rock fall on you. I'd rather fall on the rock. Let him break me. Let him mold me into what he wants me to be. Amen. I willingly submit. I willingly surrender. Because if I allow the Lord to humble me, you might have a broken leg. Jacob. You might lose a lot. Come on. I say, Lord, just do whatever you need to do in me. Let's open up our Bibles. Ephesians 5, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, verse 2, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. All right, we'll just tell you right there. Verse 1 and 2. Be ye imitators of God. So God is love. We learned that already, right? We learned that love is a person. And if we're going to become like God and he is love, then that means I'm becoming one with him. He is love, and so my life should also be a reflection of that. Amen. And I love this. What I love about this verse, we ended up here last week, and I just felt led to stay there. In verse 1, it said, imitate God as dearly loved children. So the way that I imitate God, or by imitating God, I live like a child of God. That children imitate their dads and their parents. Sons imitate their fathers. And he said, you are going to do this as dearly loved children, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ. All right? So the implication is Jesus, who was the Son of God, imitated his dad. And by imitating his dad, he lived a life of love. Now, it's interesting, Paul didn't say, imitate God and work miracles, heal the sick, cast out devils, multiply food, do supernatural stuff, right? He said, imitate God and live a life of love. So Jesus imitated God by living a life of love, but we know Jesus healed the sick, he cast out devils, he did supernatural stuff. But the Bible says that he lived a life of love, and as a result of living a life of love, he healed the sick, he cast out devils, he raised the dead. Which means that when we imitate God's love, it'll reproduce in our lives something supernatural. Because love, really and truly, if God is love, love is supernatural. It's beyond something that's natural, because that's God's realm. That's God's position. That's God's DNA. That's God's identity, is that he is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And anyone who loves is born of God. Anyone who loves is born of God. They are his sons. They are his children, because love is of God. Love comes from God. Love comes from him. So love is supernatural. Love is a supernatural thing. And we're talking about true love, not the type of love we know. We're talking about God's kind of love. It's supernatural. Say that with me. Love is supernatural. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to show you something. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So here is Jesus talking to the multitudes, and he tells us that if you want to be like your dad, your father in heaven, then there are two requirements that you need. Or if you're going to imitate God, then you have to mirror him by doing the following things. What do sons do? He said, one, love your enemies, love, and pray. Amen. Look back. Go back. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you can be like your Father in heaven. So what that means is this. Jesus is saying, this is how your Father treats his enemies. This is how your Father treats people. That he loves people who don't love him back. He loves people who are his enemies. And not only that, he prays for the people. See, Jesus will never ask us to do anything that God himself isn't doing. God will not expect me. See, some people have the view that God, you know, judges his enemies. That God kills people who don't like him. Some people have a view that God is angry and he's mean, right? We talked about that. They don't have the view that God has satisfied his wrath on the cross. And so they believe that judgment has to be come upon people who don't serve him, who don't love him, right? Right? And so what Jesus said, no, I want you to be like your father by loving your enemies. Meaning that God loves his enemies. Interestingly, in the verse before that, he said, you heard it say that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But where did we hear that? Where did we hear that? No, the law. The Old Testament. The law that God gave Moses said to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. You heard it say in the law that you're supposed to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But now I'm telling you. You see, the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. So Moses had the law, but he didn't have truth. When Jesus came, he gave him grace, and he showed them that grace is more powerful than judgment or law. So the law said you give people what they deserve. You love the people that are good to you, you hate your enemies. But now I say to you, you give people what they don't deserve. Interestingly, he says, love your enemies. See, people say, you know, grace is easier than the law. It's not. The law is actually easier than grace. Because the law is human, is natural. You can live up to it in a human level. You just can't live all of them, but it's easier to try to do it. But when you talk about grace, that's supernatural. You see, it's not natural for you to do these two things right here, love and pray. No one wants to love. No one really wants to pray. These are two unnatural desires. That's why it's a struggle for you to love your enemies. That's why it's a struggle to love the people who hurt you. Because naturally speaking, your flesh doesn't want to love. But when you step into God's kind of love, he says, now you're going to find yourself loving the people who are your enemies. And not only that, you're going to be praying for the people who are trying to kill you. This is supernatural now. So sons of God do two things. They love and they pray. That's how we imitate God, by loving people and praying. Jesus prayed so much, and he taught the disciples how to pray. He said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was consumed with the idea that things should be on earth as it is in heaven. And everywhere he went, he proved that reality, that he sought to bring heaven into every area of his life. Relationships, people who were sick in their bodies. What's heaven's view of this person? And he chose to live a life where he would not focus on his natural abilities, but he chose to focus on what the Father was saying and doing over people's life. And God is love. Is God love all the time or sometimes? Is he love only to the people that love him? Does he love the people that hate him? Amen. So if I'm going to imitate God, I have to start doing that. Amen. If I'm going to start loving or operating like God, I got to start praying for people. It's funny. He wants me to love and pray. So let's read that. Verse 44. I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So God causes his light to be upon the people who are for him and the people that are against him. How many times have you withheld your light and your sun from people who you didn't like? that you withhold your grace and you withhold your blessings on them because you didn't like them. I'm not operating like my dad when I do that. Amen. I'm not going to get a lot of amens today, but it's all right. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get in heaven? None. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Verse 47, if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans, unbelievers do that? So what's going to set you apart from anyone else in this world? If you love the people that love you back, choosing to love the people who don't love you. Choosing to show grace to people who don't deserve it. And watch this, be perfect. So perfection, and from Jesus' point of view, was not living a perfect life from a moral standpoint. Perfection, from God's point of view, is love. Love. And when you love people, that's you're being perfect. You're being perfect when you love. Love is perfection. Love is perfection. That's why it's more important to love than to be right. Come on. Because when Jesus died for us to show us how much he loved us, he assumed the position that he was wrong. Criminals went to the cross. People who sinned went to the cross. Jesus did nothing wrong, but he said, for the sake of love, I'm going to die for them. I'm going to go to the cross. Everyone looked at it. That's why the Jews rejected him, because he was a criminal in their eyes. And not only some, the worst kind of criminals went to the cross. The people who did the most wrong, those are the people who went to the cross. And Jesus did nothing wrong. If Jesus thought like us, he wasn't staying on that cross. I'm right, you're wrong. But love doesn't need to be right. Hallelujah. Because if I'm the most important thing is preserving the relationship. So if I prove I'm right, but then I lose you in the process, then I'm wrong. Because the perfection of God is, the perfect choice is to always choose to love. That's maturity. That's living as sons of God. Now it gets deeper. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. See, all of this is this mindset is necessary to bring heaven to earth. If we don't have this consciousness and this awareness of God's perfect love, we'll never be able to bring heaven wherever we go. See, love is not afraid of people's sins. Love is not afraid of people's sins. Some people are afraid to pray for some people because they're too sinful. They're afraid to hang out with certain people because they're too bad. But Jesus hung out with the worst sinners. He hung out with the people who no one else wanted to hang, who all the religious people didn't want to get close to. Why? Because they were too concerned about being right. They were too concerned about having a nice, clean image. They were too concerned about having a reputation where people see me and I'm free from sin. No sin is next to me. I'm not contaminated by their lifestyle. But Jesus hung out with the prostitutes, the adulterers, the tax collectors, the worst, the rejected people in his day, to love them. Not to do what they were doing, but to love them. Because love is the only way we can deal with sin effectively. If I deal with sin with law and justice and judgment, then I'm going to do what the Lord tried to do Moses did, and I won't have a perfect love. The way that we deal with sin is by loving people. People think we get people to live right by fixing them. We get people to live right by loving them. Do you believe love can make someone right? That's what the cross proved. But if we don't believe in the cross, we won't be able to demonstrate that love. Do you believe that somebody who is bad, if you show them goodness, they can change?
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, our justice system doesn't necessarily believe that. Somebody does wrong, we catch them in the act, we throw them in prison, let them rot in jail, whatever we do in there. But the truth of the matter is, if we're going to change people, we don't fix them, we love them. And by loving them, love will fix them.
Yes.
Say that, love is supernatural.
Love is supernatural.
That's why he says love your enemies. Not because your enemies are just going to get over on you. Love your enemies because when you love them, they will no longer be your enemy. They'll be changed into your friend.
Yes.
You turn an enemy into a friend by loving them. Pray for the people who persecute you. Why? Because by praying for them, you are going to release a grace on them that can actually change them so they can stop persecuting you. Come on. He's not telling you to do these things so that people can stay the same. The goal is for him to transform lives. Amen? The goal is to save men. He came to save the lost. So Jesus came to save people by loving them out of their sins. When people offend you and people hurt you, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. I don't want you to be a statistic. That in the last days, you'll be one of those people whose love is being waxed cold because somebody offended you. No, God has called you to a higher life. I want you to love like me. And in the last days, I believe the love of the people of God should be even greater than the rest of the world. Hallelujah. And when you love like this, God releases a grace through you that has a supernatural impact on the lives of people around you. That's when he healed the sick. That's when you raise the dead. That's when you cast out devils through love. Paul said, if I move mountains, if I can speak in tongues of angels, and I don't have love, I have nothing. If I have all the depths of spirituality that I can ever learn, but then I lack love, I don't have nothing. Because in the end, all God wants to know is, how did you love? You can cast out devils, raise the dead, do all this stuff, but God is going to ask you, how did you love people? Come on. Love is the ultimate spirituality. We walk like God. God is love. I live like him when I imitate him. And imitation is the greatest sign of worship. The greatest sign of your worship to God is by doing what he would do, living like him. If I want to worship God, I want to live like God. I want to imitate God. You flatter him. When you have the audacity to think, walk like him, love like him, live like him, pray like him, do what he would do, that's faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's all I said, it takes faith to love. You got to believe that God will give you the capacity to love people the way he wants you to love. Amen? So I don't start with my own natural ability to say, I'm going to love my enemies, because that's not the natural thing to do. I got to start from a supernatural place and say, God, I'm going to love like you because that's what you would do. And you know what? The thing about prayer and love, both of these things start with a willing heart. If I don't want to love, I won't love. If I don't want to pray, I won't pray. I have to be willing to pray, willing to love, and that's how I begin to live like my Father in heaven. So the Bible says it is God that works in you both to will and to do for his pleasure. So if I'm going to imitate God, I got to learn how to be willing to simply say, Lord, how many of you believe that you can live like God? Let's start from there. Do you believe that you can operate like God? If you don't know that, that's what you were created to do. We were created in his image and in his likeness. You were created in the image and likeness of God. Your purpose on this earth is to live and function just like God. Any other purpose is totally erroneous. My purpose is to function like God, period. Yeah. So I have no other purpose but to live like God. My job is secondary. Everything else in this world is secondary. My first job on this earth is to function like God. You were created in his image and likeness. Come on. I'm almost done. So let's jump down to this verse, Colossians. Colossians. I'm stretching you today. Is that all right?
Yes.
Colossians chapter 3. Somebody say stretch. This is love I'm talking about. Colossians 3, let's look at verse 9. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Now, let's stop right there. He says, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself by thinking you're the same person you were before you were born of God. One of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is that I'm only human. You're not only human. You were born of God. You are a new creation. All things are passed away. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So I'm not only human. Paul rebuked the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, you are acting like mere men. Because they were comparing Apollos and Paul and their teaching. He said, why are you acting like mere men? Come on. We got to break that mindset. We have to break those excuses that makes us think like we're not carnal anymore. We're spiritual. We're supernatural. God's nature lives on the inside of us. God's nature lives on the inside of you. You have access to godliness, godlikeness. And all it takes is a renewal of the mind to live this way. And as Ryan said, love is what renews our mind, right? We know the love of God, it renews our minds. How many people know unless your mind is renewed, it doesn't work right?
Amen.
That's why it needs to be renewed, because it's not operating right. We need to be renewed in our minds so that we can live the way God called us to live. Hallelujah. So he says, don't lie to yourself. You lie to yourself when you still see yourself like you were before Christ. You lie to yourself when you still think you're only human. You lie to yourself when you talk to people like they're not brand new men and women in Christ. You lie to yourself when you treat people like who they were before Christ. When you try to bring judgment on people and bring shame and condemnation on people, you're lying to them because that's not who they are anymore. That's the biggest way we lie to one another. We talk to each other like we're not who we are in Christ. If I believe you are forgiven, I need to treat you like you're forgiven and not bring up the past. If I believe you're accepted in the beloved, then I got to accept you despite of how I feel. If I believe that God says who he says you are, I got to start treating you like that. And if I don't treat you like that, I'm lying to you. See, you need to take a responsibility and begin to assume your identity in Christ. See, Jose, I think it was Larry Randolph who said this. God is not obligated to fulfill your potential. God is not obligated to fulfill your potential. Who he created you to be, it's your responsibility to fulfill it, to live up to it. You're blessed. You're whole. You're holy. You're redeemed. You're righteous. It's my responsibility to believe it and live like it. Come on. See, this is stuff that people won't preach to you because they don't believe it themselves. I'm preaching it because I believe it. Amen. It's a finished work. It already happened. All we got to do is believe it. We'll start experiencing it. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Come on. Let's get some higher perspectives today. He says, set your mind on these things which are above. Love is above. So the Bible says love is given to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. So the love is coming to you if you just receive it. I'm not trying to love out of my own capacity. I receive my Father's love, and that's the love I use to love my enemies. It's not my love, it's his love. Love is given. Love is of God. So if I want to love, I got to get him, his love. I got to receive him, receive the love he has for me. And out of that love, I love people. So come on. So he says, put on the new self. I got to not believe. Go back to verse 9. I'm almost done. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Don't lie to yourself. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. See, when I put on Christ, when I put on that identity, I'm putting off at the same time my old self, my old nature, the nature that can't love, the nature that can't forgive, the nature that struggles with sicknesses, the nature that struggles with addictions, the nature of me that just has a proclivity to do the wrong things. I let go of that old self and I receive Christ. And I put on that new nature by believing who he says I am. That's why he says in the next verse, you put on the new self. How? It's being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. So I look at the image of who God is. I look at the image of who God is. Jesus was the express image of the Father. I see Jesus and I begin to look at him and renew my image when I see his image. He is the Son of God and we are sons of God made in his image. We put on that new nature in Christ. Hallelujah. So this is where Antichrist spirit comes in. Because the Antichrist religious spirit will say, you can serve God or worship God, but just don't become like God. So you can have a form of godliness, but you can deny the power thereof. That's why I said love makes you one. God's desire is unity, equality. There's no other goal. This isn't it. There's no middle ground. Either I'm going to be like him or I'm not. I'm almost done. Verse 11. Here there is no Greek. And where? In this new image of Christ. In this newness of Christ, there is no Greek or Jew. There is no circumcised or uncircumcised. There is no barbarian or Scythian. There is no slave or free. And there is only Christ. But Christ is all and is in all. Christ is where? In all. Do I believe that? So if Christ is in you, I got to treat you like he is. I got to honor you like he is. I got to love you like he is. I got to respect you like he is. If I don't believe Christ is in people and wants to be in people, I will disrespect them. I will have no regards for them. That's what the Jews did. The Jews didn't believe that Greeks were special. So now he says there is no Jew nor Greek. A free man will disrespect a slave. But if I understand that we're all one in Christ, it doesn't matter if I'm slave or free. I can still honor and love and respect them because I believe who God is in them. This is where discrimination and segregation and racism and all that stuff ends in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. In Christ. And you know what? Before the world gets it, guess who has to get it first? The church. Yes. We got to believe that. We can't expect the unbelievers to believe. If we believe, we are the ones who go and set people free with the love we can demonstrate. Hallelujah. And that love is of God. The love is, say that with me, love is of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Do you believe that's who you are? Yeah, somebody got it. Come on. As God, are you God's chosen people?
Yes.
Hey, hallelujah. If I'm God's chosen person, I'm his son, holy and dearly loved. So that's my identity. I got to realize I'm holy, I'm set apart for him, and I'm dearly loved. I'm dearly loved. So because I'm dearly loved, I'm going to clothe myself with compassion.
Amen.
I'm going to clothe myself with kindness.
Amen.
I'm going to clothe myself with humility.
Amen.
I'm going to clothe myself with gentleness.
Amen.
I'm going to clothe myself with patience.
Amen.
Verse 13, I'm going to bear with each other. I'm going to put up with everybody and forgive whatever grievances that I may have against one another. That's what I'm going to do if I'm going to put on the knowledge of who I am in Christ. I have to put those things on, he says. You wear it, dress in it, fashion my life after it. You ever tried something new on in the store and you walked around and you modeled it? Said, look what I'm wearing. He said, imitate God. That's what I'm doing. When I put on kindness and I put on compassion, I'm imitating. And that means if I'm imitating, I'm practicing at the same time. You got to practice these things. I have to practice this lifestyle. Love is not an event. It's a lifestyle.
Amen.
I don't love on Christmas, on Mother's Day, Valentine's Day. I love every day on the schedule. We schedule our love. Hallelujah. Amen. I gotta end. Man, go back. I'm gonna read the next two verses. So we're gonna put up with each other. Amen. See, I can't do that by myself. I need to be around people to do these things. You can put on compassion by yourself until you get to the real world. You be at home like, I'm kind, I'm patient. Then you get on a train around people. Then you see how kind and patient you are. Right? So that's why people want to stay away from people, because they'd be like, you're making me sin. You're making me mess up. I got on compassion and mercy, and then you got to come and ruin it. How about it was never there yet, right? Now I'm seeing if I got it. Come on. I got to be around people to actually walk like God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory. That's why marriage is the ultimate love coach.
Amen.
You don't know how to love, get married. Any married folks in here can attest. You want to know how to love, get married. There's nowhere else to run, nowhere to hide. I can practice compassion, all that stuff. Mercy, forgiveness, Lord. All that gentleness, all that stuff you will practice every day till the day you die. And that's really the day he's waiting for, right? You die. All right, I got to end. All right, put up with each other and go back. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen. It goes back to what he did for you. He loved me unconditionally, so that's what I can base my love on. Last verse, verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love. Man, I wish I'd had more time. All those virtues, he said, over all these virtues, put on love. So love is even beyond compassion, kindness. Those are descriptions of it, but love itself. What is that? I'll tell you something, love is always experiential.
Amen.
It's always experiential. For God so loved that he what? Gave. He did something. So you can experience that, right? So that's why Paul calls love charity. giving something to someone, I have to be willing to be in a position where I can give. And that's when you're wealthy. Because if I have love, I always have something to give. I'm wealthy when I have love. I give love. And you'll never run out of that because it's the Father's love. He's given you his love. And that love is what we are going to give to the world. The world needs love. Do you agree? Yes. Hallelujah. That's what the Father wants to give. And he wants the people of God, his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, to believe it and begin to make it their lifestyle, that they're going to imitate him by walking in that love. Amen. It's your choice if you want to put it on or not. Are you going to choose love or are you going to choose violence?
Love.
Are you going to choose love or are you going to choose wrath?
Love.
Are you going to choose love or are you going to choose judgment?
Love.
Are you going to choose love or are you going to choose condemnation?
Love.
Are you going to choose love or are you going to choose isolation? I want to love. I need to love. That's my Father's will. And love binds them all together in perfect unity. The bond of perfection is love. And if we're going to be one with God and one with people, we got to love them. Amen?
Amen?
So let's all stand and we're going to receive the love. We're going to put it on. How do I begin to receive from God? Ask and it shall be given. I don't know if you feel his love in here, but I want you to realize, again, everything I'm asking you to do is based on what God himself is doing for you. Do you see that? We're asking you to be merciful because God is being merciful to you. We're asking you to be gracious because God is being gracious to us. We're asking you to be compassionate because God is being compassionate to you. And if I believe that, I'm going to begin to live that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
So let's do one thing. Let's lift up our hands together. As the holy people of God, dearly loved, love comes from God. It's given to us, and we have to believe it to receive it. And I understand that many of us have hearts that have been offended, hearts that have been hurt, hearts that have been wounded. And so it actually begins to stifle that love that we actually have the capacity to release. And so the first place you're supposed to love before you love people is know that you are loved. That means I'm supposed to love myself with the love of God. You need to love yourself with God's love. Love yourself with God's love. Hey, just realize that God loved you so much that he died for you. Just realize that God has been so merciful to you and gracious to you that times when you didn't deserve to be blessed, he blessed you anyway. Come on, just realize that about your Heavenly Father. He has been gracious to you. He has been merciful to you. He has forgiven you time and time again. And because of that, I know that I'm loved. And if I believe that love, I'm going to be able to release that same grace and love to others around me. And so, Father, even as I began to lay this foundation down, I pray, God, that where everyone who has had a heart that's been waxed cold because of bitterness and offense, people have been abandoned. People have been forsaken in this world. Father, I pray that you will elevate them today to begin to realize that you loved them unconditionally. You loved them despite of the failure and the faults, the shame, the abandonment, the ridicule. You became one with us so that we can become one with you. That we can share in the delight of the Father today. We don't have to be perfect because his love doesn't require it. All he wants us to do is believe it and receive it. And so, Father, I thank you that experiences with your love is going to become a daily occurrence for every single person in this room. I thank you, God, that as we have choosing to imitate you, to put on love just like you, to become dearly loved sons and daughters who will walk this earth knowing that our Father's DNA is on us, our Father's identity is in us, knowing that we have God-likeness on the inside of us. Father, I thank you that that love will release us into a world of grace and freedom, that, Father, we don't have to live insecure or afraid of this world, but we can live bold lives because we are loved boldly by you, God. Father, you showed us how much you loved us by sacrificing your one and only Son in broad daylight. Father God, you showed the world how much you loved us. You didn't hide your love for us. You put it openly, hung him on a cross so all the world can see how much I love them. And so God, with that same love and that same mindset, let us be bold. Let us be open. Let us be unashamed, Father, about this life of love. Let us see how powerful love is. It's not a weak thing. This is the most powerful thing we can do is love despite of the pain, despite of the hurt, despite of the shame, Father. We're going to live as overcomers and conquerors in this world. For how shall men know that we are your disciples but when we have love one for another? And so I thank you today, God. Thank you for new hearts, new minds. And we're going to imitate you, Father, as dearly loved children. He just wants us to do one thing. Let's just say this with me. Say, I surrender my heart to your love. I abandon my reasoning for your love. Replace my logic. Replace my understanding. I don't need to understand. All I need to do is believe. And so I thank you that your supernatural love is replacing my natural love. I will love like you, talk like you, function like you, and manifest my DNA as a son of God in this earth. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.